Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to another episode of High Heat with Matt Helms and Shelby Ford. How are we doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. Got off work this morning. A little bit of a, you know, busy shift all day, all night. Mm-hmm. Other than that, good day outside. The weather's getting nice finally. And
yep.
That heat's starting to go away.
How many calls y'all have?
Oh, man. I think we have 5 after midnight. Yeah.
Are they spread out perfectly to where it was like once every hour or every 45 minutes?
Where you just wake up, you're like, you don't know where you're at, and, you know, doing the power nod of the engine.
Yeah.
I think on the day we probably ran 16, 17.
That kind of makes me glad that I didn't get on a bigger department because.
Well, it all depends on the station.
Yeah, that's true too.
We have some stations that are, you know, they'll run one a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a.
For our viewers listening, me and Shelby, both some washed-up baseball players that started, now have a career in fire department. I'm with Fort Smith, and he's with Fort Worth Fire Department. So, continuing on with your day, how many crews, do you got 3 or 6 men, or how many guys you got in a station?
We're 4 men.
4 men, okay.
We're called a single company, so gotcha. We have an engine. Being an outlier, a lot of... grassy lands around us, we have a brush truck too, so it's you know, if we need to take the brush somewhere, one of us will jump on that and drive it. We also have places that are double companies that consist of an engine and a ladder truck, Quint or True Truck, whichever one you is there you decide to call it.
Mm-hmm. How many guys are in that station?
8.
8. Okay.
Just unless it's stationed, and you know, obviously you add the chief, so there's 9.
But. Yeah. That's a lot of guys, man. Our biggest one is a 6-man, which I guess it'd be 7 because we have 1 battalion chief at 1 station, so it'd probably be 7 would be your biggest one. But yeah, ours is usually 3. We'll have a pumper or a ladder, and then a couple of them have a pumper and a ladder at stations. I think we got 2 stations that have that, and then 1's got a rescue truck, which just has 2 guys on there. It's just like our big... for you guys that know, a rescue truck is like a big toolbox. It just goes anywhere for anything almost. Kind of got all the tools in one truck right there that they go to. They pretty much on every fire, every wreck, they go to it all. We're 11 stations, about 155 guys staff, I guess, for all 3 shifts. So we're just a speck on the map compared to Fort Worth. What do y'all got?
45 stations. And 900-plus man department.
Yeah, but I mean population too. I can't remember what Fort Smith's fire population is, but it ain't nowhere near Fort Worth. That's for sure. What's been some of your craziest calls so far? I mean, nothing. Doesn't have to be morbid or anything. Just be what's the craziest one y'all had so far.
Well, I guess 2 years ago this November we had a triple fatality wreck. Came in as a major accident vehicle fire about midnight, and then you know, we get there, obviously one car fully involved, and then we didn't know there's another car about quarter mile up the road that had got hit broadside. They're turning their housing development.
You want to introduce us to him? What's the little man's name? What you got back there?
Well, that's Beckham. He's 3 years old. You know, he's my little shadow.
Yeah.
My little pride and joy right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, triple fatality. It was a guy, kid. But, yeah, that's probably the worst one that still kind
of... Yeah, was that the one on the video you sent me of that kid racing? And that couple pulled out in front of him on date night or something, or anniversary?
Yeah, it was the ring doorbell across the street.
That's what it was. Yeah. You sent me that video. Yeah, man, that's some bad stuff. I don't understand. don't know if kids just think they're invincible or what, or just want the thrill, but that's just, it's not worth it.
He was racing, 19-year-old. They got on his Instagram from earlier that night, and he was doing about 130 down 20. And out, unfortunately, his infant child won't have a father to grow up to. You know, so three parents that might be killed.
Yeah, and someone, one group of family doesn't have either one of them. So that's what's crazy. Not worth it. For what? Just a 10-second thrill?
Yep.
You know, I've seen them down there in Fort Worth driving down there. They're just zooming in and out, and I'm like, man, that's not worth it. You're going to get there, like, what, 5 minutes earlier than me? Like, good for you. So, yeah.
You're either going to be in a body bag or, you know, safe.
Yeah. I bet there was barely anything left to find of them. That's for sure. I think one of our worst ones that I've been on that so far, that it's just a matter of time that happens, was a shooting. Guy just had enough of it. It's like right at the end of COVID, you know, when someone's been in COVID for 2 years, you know, or lockdowns and all that, and I guess he was going out with a blaze of glory and started calling people out of an apartment complex and started just tore into his neighbor. And then, luckily, this guy doesn't get recognized. There's a guy in Fort Smith that was a neighbor, came out with his gun and sniped him from the second floor apartment and took him out because he was calling people out, telling them, hey, everybody out here, get on your knees. You know, he's about to start execution style. But this unsung hero that I guess they didn't name, he didn't want to be named, took him out with a rifle and saved a lot of people that day. We ran up, and I didn't know that guy was a shooter, and just started working on him, and he was gone from a gunshot back to the head, and then went inside the apartment where just an old lady, just mind her own business, not open the door for her neighbor. Just got cut in half by a gun, so it's crazy that you don't really hear that story that much, but I guess the guy moved, didn't want to be named, and just went his way, but I mean, he definitely saved a lot of people, so thankfully he did have a gun to protect other people, or it could have been a lot worse, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, it's definitely sad seeing the things that we see, you know, sometimes having to relive it. Like, you see things out in the real world while you're off duty, and it's just glazed over in your eyes. And
for me, it's where it happened at. Like, I'll drive by, you know, where it happened, and it just all rolls back. And I haven't really got onto like a scenario or something where I heard something or seen something on TV that gave me a flashback. It's more, for me, it's a location when I'm like, hey, I ran there. Hey, I ran a car right there. Or hey, I ran a code there, you know, like that's what gets me, is where it's driving by and when they start clicking. But as of now, I haven't had anything too haunting, too nothing that I lose sleep over. It's just one of those that it comes with the territory. It's part of the job. I think you were saying earlier, before we got started, about you got to kind of have a dark humor about it. It's just one of the ways to handle it with how much stuff you see. If anybody's a first responder listening, or a nurse or a doctor or anything listening, I mean, I'm sure you know the same thing too. And it's just one of those things, part of the job, occupational hazard, I guess.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where, you know, if you know somebody that's kind of in their head about things, you know, in dark places, it's always good to reach out to them, talk to them. Mm-hmm. You know, offer them that shoulder to lean on, that ear to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
there's a lot of standards too, or not standards, but like old heads that in the department, they're just like, oh, it's not cool to talk about feelings and stuff like that, which I mean, we don't want to hear about everything, you know, like you stub your toe or something, or something's not going right, you know, at home or something. I mean, it's cool to talk about it, but it's like we don't want to hear everything. But it is also good to talk about some things, because there's a few bad calls we've had where we just sit at the kitchen table afterwards and just kind of be like, you know, like, everybody good, everybody all right, you know. One we ran, motorcycle wreck. She got thrown underneath the semi. And we looked it up, and ended up being a coworker's sibling or sister. So that made it pretty tough knowing that. And so we were all kind of sitting around talking about it, just kind of like just getting it out instead of everybody holding it in. So that was another bad one. I'd say that's probably my top two memorable ones that stick with me.
Yeah. You know, if it's deal with somebody you know, or your children, those –
Yeah, I haven't had a child yet, which, I mean, it's just one of those matter of time almost, but I've avoided anything child, thank goodness, but it's just a matter of time, I feel like, and I don't know how I'm going to handle that one. It's just one of those where, especially for you, having a child, you know, I can bet that's 50 times worse. I mean, it's terrible either way, but
yeah,
having one and doing that's got to be pretty hard.
Oh, yeah. It's those are the ones that hit a little closer to home when you have kids and you're working something with a kid. So it's the ones that you definitely don't want to relive.
Yeah,
the ones that kind of hit you out of nowhere. You see a baby that looks like the one, or just the baby in general, and you just kind of just stop what you're doing almost.
Yeah. We'll go to a lighter side of things. What's some of y'all's top meals? What's your top go-to meal you cook, or for the boys? What you got?
Man, I'm a real big fan of letting the crock pot cook for me.
Okay, all right. Lazy man's getting up there.
Yeah, you know, just typical roast carrots, potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, throw some chicken in there, throw some pork chops in there, and go about it, you know, different ways. You know, when football comes around, I like making a deal of queso and sit around TV on Sundays and Saturdays and, you know, munching on chips and queso and watching college and NFL.
Yeah, you can't beat that, man. It's one of those kind of forces you to sit down, you know, where you're like, if I was at home, I'd be doing a bunch of other stuff. But since I'm at the station, you know, we might as well watch some games, you know, while we're here. We got 24 hours, so we might as well sit here and chill and watch
it. It's funny watching, you know, there's four of our station. Each one of us has basically something different that we do. So it's not like we're always doing this or that or that. It's like we all have three or four different things.
Yeah.
So it keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
Me and one of the other guys, once in a while, we'll be like, oh, we're going to do fuzzies for breakfast and pizza for dinner.
Yeah.
All right. Or Chipotle. Either way, we're like, perfect.
Yeah. What's good about, I was at Station 6, where I've been for the majority of the time. We're in, like, the business district, so it's like we're a drive away from anything. But my shift is the one we cook all the time, so we're never going out. I'll go to a different shift, and it's like, what do you want for lunch? What do you want for dinner? You know, we're eating at two different places per day. And I'm like, man, that gets a little hefty on the old wallet when you're charging about $12, $15 per meal when I could cook a whole meal for 3 to 6 guys for $8, $10, you know.
Right.
So I always enjoy cooking more, and plus it feels a little more easier on the wallet.
Sure.
I started keeping a little album of all the photos of things I made. So when I go to a new station or I'm under a new captain or something, they're like, hey, what can you cook? And I'm like, here's my menu. Like, I'll hand them the phone with the photo album of everything that I've cooked before. And I'm like, here, what do you want? You know, and so it makes it so much easier to where, instead of trying to describe everything or be like, hey, I cooked this, I cooked that, I can say, here you go, and hand them the phone, and they'll be like, okay, I like this. So that's been pretty easy. I just started adding that, everything I've cooked before, and made it, picked up a few things from other firefighters too. So my menu just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're a big breakfast and dinner crew.
Yeah.
So we'll make breakfast. You're kind of on your own for lunch. We always have sandwich material or...
Yeah. Or leftovers from breakfast. Y'all ever have leftovers just to munch throughout the day?
Yeah, or leftovers from last day and, you know, munch on that. So it's, you know, we like our breakfast and dinner.
Yeah.
And some of them sleep through lunchtime.
Yeah. For us, I mean, you have to with the 15 calls. I mean, shoot, I don't blame you. For us, it depends what station you're at. They'll do big breakfast and then a lunch and then leftovers for dinner. Or for us at the station I'm usually at is... You're on your own for breakfast. We'll cook a big lunch, and then we're eating leftovers from lunch for dinner. So it's just like one meal you're paying for the whole day. But yeah, I like making, finding out new meals. I love eat other people's meals. They'll start cooking and stuff, and it's cool to where you're mixing it up. If you have about four solid meals you can make, you're going to be good, because if you can mix up from the other guys four meals, you know, that's 12 shifts, you know, sitting right there, you're looking at, shoot, almost a month and a half's worth of shifts of eating. So, yeah, it's always cool to see different styles of food and different ways people like making it. I've seen plenty of cookbooks from, like, firefighters, you know, kitchen or something, you know, or at the station, you know. I think my mom bought me some right when I came on. She's like, here's some cookbooks. I know you're going to need to have to learn to cook. And I'm like, Okay. Never used it, but I'll look through them. It's kind of learn as you go type thing. I was like, I need to get a few recipes down and go from there. Yeah, we had a guy come on recently. They said all he ate was French fries. I said, you ain't going to make it if you don't learn to eat something else or whatnot. So I think they finally got him to spread to spaghetti. I don't know. I don't know if it's just from his parents not forcing him to eat anything else, or they just always gave him that. And I don't know how it happened, but this is a grown man. Like I say grown man, but you got to be grown up to be in the fire department, like 18, 19, but
yeah,
probably like 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there, and only ate French fries. So they broke him in pretty quick to where they're like, hey, you're going to have to start eating other stuff and getting used to it. So that'll bring us to our next topic. Talk about the machine.
Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
What a career.
Yes. I got to give it to the guy. I mean, what else you got to play for? I mean, I wish he would have made no, they're still playoff contentions. I was thinking yep. Angels. I was like, Angels is out of it. But Cardinals are playoff contention.
Yep.
If the Braves didn't exist, that'd probably be the team I'd go for just because of him, solely because of him.
Oh, I mean, sure.
You have that kind of a career, and it'd be cool to see him. Hey, what's he got? One championship? Two?
Hi, Max.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, he's got I know one championship for sure.
Yeah.
You know, against the Rangers.
Yeah, that was a all-time great series, which should have probably never happened. I mean, I think you catch that ball in right field.
Oh, hands down.
I mean, I just don't. It hit the warning track, didn't it? It didn't even hit the wall. It hit the warning track, then off the wall.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make a great play to end the game, and
mm-hmm.
and then you kind of look at him. He got scared of the walls. Like, you're a right fielder.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sell out to make that play. They have all offseason to heal if you hurt something. You know, but his first career home run, Tom Brady had zero career starts and only six career passing yards, or is it passing attempts?
And he's still playing. Think about that. So you hear about Tom Brady being the GOAT and always playing and playing for so long and whatnot, and you got a guy here that's still doing the same thing since 2001, was it? Starting 2001?
Somewhere there. 20.
I mean, that's his MLB career, too. That's not even talking about the grind of minor league and all that stuff. I think he has two championships. I think I'm reading it here, 2006, 2011.
Okay.
So,
it's easy for that 2006.
Yeah. 11-time All-Star, 2-time World Series champion, 3-time NL MVP, NL Rookie of the Year. So out of 2,208 at-bats, he's had 700 home runs, 3,377. Oh, sorry, runs batted in was 2,208. Hits, 3,377. And his batting average is .296.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, you talk about that, about Brady. They're saying Brady's lasting forever, you know. I mean, Pujols still, other than the DH spot where he doesn't have to play the field as much, I mean, it's a lot less taxing and stress on your body than playing once a week in the NFL. I mean, but still to be doing that at that age and making contact and hitting it well,
that's a crazy thing.
He's got, I got a stat thing for you too. He's got 700 home runs, 466 were with St. Louis, 222 was with the Angels, and 12 was with the Dodgers. He has 12 walk-off home runs, 262 go-ahead home runs, 500 homers against right-handed pitchers, 200 homers against left-handed pitchers. Let's see what else we got. 62 homers against Houston, most of any opponent. 120 homers at Busch Stadium, most of any venue. And 34 homers at PNC Park, most of any road venues. So 455 different pitchers he's hit a home run off of.
Wow.
Yeah. And 154 first inning home runs, which is the most of any inning. So yeah, he's been. That's a lot of swings, man. That's a lot of swings. I think it would took me about. I think it would took me about 40 years to get to there with the pace I was at. Probably been about 50 years, maybe. Yeah, So, yeah, that's a lot, man. People don't. If you're not familiar with baseball, it's a grind every year, every season. 162 games they're playing for how many years? You said 21 years, something like that.
Yep.
And like you said, now you're playing minor league. You're not even talking about minor league. JUCO guy came from Green something in Missouri, I think. Greenwood in Missouri or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. Don't quote me on that. So, it's cool to see a guy succeed like that, especially how good of a dude he is. I've heard from different stories or reading books and stuff. Seems like a pretty good dude. So, power to him. I think all baseball fans cheered when he did hit that 700, minus the parents of the pitcher that gave it up. They probably weren't cheering so much, but yeah.
Let's see. Metropolitan Community College.
Metropolitan.
Maplewoods.
Maplewoods. Okay, yeah, that sounds way better. Greenwood's a town outside Fort Smith that I guess stuck with me. I don't know. Maplewoods, yeah. That's it. Nice. Yeah, I think it's good for baseball all the way around. Especially for a guy that did it right. You know, like, you just gotta kind of applaud that. You know, he's one of four to reach 700 and one of two to reach 700 with 3,000 plus hits. So, I mean, that's some good company.
What a year for the Cardinals to be on the brink of playoffs and two illustrious careers.
Yeah.
That getting to watch, you know, come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's just hope Wainwright doesn't decide to hang him up at the same time.
He probably will. I don't blame Molina.
That'd be one heck of a trifecta going out together.
Yeah, they can all go out the same year, and then they can all go in the Hall of Fame together the same year. Yeah. I could see it happen. I know Molina's leaving, right? This is last year.
Do what?
Molina's last year.
Yep, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why wouldn't you go out with him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah.
A little goofball.
Yeah, he's hanging out, doesn't he? I think he likes seeing himself on the camera.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's funny. So that'll bring us into the next subject. What do you want to get? Baseball rules new coming up? What are those?
The three big rule changes.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, buddy.
So, yeah, the pitch timer, the defensive shift limits, and the bigger bases.
What do you want to hit first?
Let's just go in order, since I got it pulled up right here, the pitch timer.
Yeah.
I guess in an effort to create a quicker pace of play, it's like, well, if you're going to put all these rules in and then all these replays and everything else, like, well, you think the game slows down?
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing wrong with it before. You know, baseball's meant to be three and a half hours.
Yeah.
I mean, same with football.
I mean, your average pace is around, what, three and a half? I mean,
it's right, like,
with or without everything, but there is some pitchers that I will say just need to figure it out. It's just pitchers are weird. It goes from pitchers being the weirdest to left-handed pitchers being the ultimate weirdest. But all these windups and all these, I mean, I get how you keep your same routine, you do the same thing, but some of these are getting so long. I can't. Well, who's that pitcher from Houston that takes like 20-something seconds to throw one pitch? He's a great pitcher, great dude, but I mean, you're talking like 20-something seconds per pitch.
Yeah.
Dude, get on the mound and throw, like, there's no big deal, but it kind of keeps those guys accountable. I saw a video where it shows the same pitcher with a pitch clock and without one, and he threw four or five pitches to his two without a pitch clock.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see the pros and cons of that. It kind of is just a nudging along to like, hey, quit taking 30 seconds, but then again, the other side of me saying, hey, don't mess with how things are supposed to be type thing kind of creeps into where the purist in me is like, hey, just leave it alone. It's fine the way it is.
I guess there's going to be a 30-second timer between batters, and between pitches there will be a 15-second timer with the bases empty and a 20-second timer with runners on base.
Hmm. I feel like that's the last thing a pitcher wants to think about while on the mound. In a big game, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly. And this rule, which includes limits on throws to first base, has also increased stolen base attempts. I guess that was in the minor leagues, or at least the pitch.
They only get a certain amount per batter or something, or?
Well, in the minors, it reduced the average time of game in the MILB by about 26 minutes.
The guys don't pick off that much anyways, as is.
No. But per game in the minors this season, steal attempts per game have increased from 2.23 in 2019 at a 68% success rate to 2.83 in 22 at a 77% success rate. So it's hard for a pitcher to hold a runner and, you know, vary up their times and looks and deliveries. And
yeah. I'm just curious how that works or how that would work.
You know, there's a whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 bullet points of sub-rules in this pitch timer.
Like I said, that's a lot. Like, pitchers are already worried about more than that, and now they have to worry about how many times they can throw over, how long they can hold them on for, or, you know, this and that. That's just, you're trying to make it simpler for the fans, but you're making it more complicated for the players, which most of the times players don't like that. They're not for having to think more about it. So,
I don't know
how I feel about that one.
Pitchers who violate the timer, automatic ball. Batters who violate the timer, automatic strike.
Gotcha.
If you try to pick off more than two times in the same bat, I guess, then the third time, the base runner gets...
See, that's what's complicated to me. Like, what if he picks off twice right away before a pitch is thrown, and then you know his first movement to the plate's got to be to the plate, you know? It can't be a pickoff move. That's a part of the game, too, to where it's all about setting someone up. Hey, I'm going to throw my worst two picks over there, and then my third one's going to be my good one or something, you know? And then now they're taking that out to where you can't even pick a third time. That'd be pretty difficult.
Yep. Let's shift to the defensive shift limits. A minimum of 4 players on the infield, at least 2 infielders completely on either side of second base.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I'm not a fan too much of the shift. It's like, I get it when you're doing percentage and stuff, but again, if you're playing the percentage, then the batter should be able to step up and hit it the other way. So when you see all these batters with 5 guys on one side of the infield, and the batter hits right into him, I'm like, that's your own fault, dude. Like, why don't you just learn to hit the opposite way? You're a big leaguer. You should be able to do that, you know? So I don't feel sorry for the hitter if there's a shift on, but I see it like 50-50 where it doesn't work in their favor anyway. So, I mean, if you got a 60% chance of hitting it to the right side of second, you know, I'm going to play those odds all day. It's just like a casino. You're going to play those odds all day.
Yeah. This one, you know, kind of irks me just because it's a chess match.
Yeah.
You know.
If you wanted to play the other, you know, 6 guys on the other side of the field, you know, or 7 guys on the other side of the field and nobody on the right side, you know, that's your own business. I just don't think if a guy can't hit it the opposite way, then you're a major leaguer. You should be able to do that. You're a professional.
Yep.
So I don't feel sorry for you. And then these guys that are bunting against the shift, I'm like, that's what you get. That's what you get. You know, you got to play that. Tip your cap to them. You know, it's like a good pitch. Yep. Off speed, 3-1, or, you know, 3-2 off speed, you know, you just tip your cap. Okay, good job, touche. So I'm not a fan of limiting defense of what they can and can't do. I mean, I don't see what that's going to do. Is that for a speed up of the game, or is that just because who wanted that? Who wanted no shifts? The batters, the ones that can't pull or can't go opposite the field?
Yeah.
So you're going to let, like, the 10 guys really that
comes what? In the – mind is Joey Gallo, how he whined and cried that he can't hit against shift. Well, I mean, learn how to hit the other one.
Well, so you're going to let 3 guys that can't go opposite field dictate a whole infield what they can and can't do?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that, especially when they have those chalk lines that are just going straight to the outfield from second base. I'm like, that looks absurd. I'm like, get it out of here. That does not belong in baseball.
No.
That does not belong in baseball.
Neither do bigger bases.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't think bigger bases. I could see first base being the only bigger base, you know, with all these people having stepped on or rolling the ankle. And it's never made sense to me that the base is in fair territory, but then you can't run in fair, you know, like your baseline. That's the only thing, the problem I would have. I would be for maybe a bigger base. I know it looked tacky, like the old double base in softball for first base, but, I mean, how many more less headaches of calls of someone running in the baseline, mm-hmm. or someone getting their ankle stepped on, or even if it was a wide throw or high throw, he's not coming into the base runner, you know. The base runner still has an out to step on a second base on the outside of it. So I would be for a bigger base, only for first base. All the other bases.
Huh? Safety reasons and the headache of the interference.
Yes, because there was one call recently. It was last year, and I think it was playoffs or something, where he was running straight to the base, and he got in the way, and they called him out. And it's like, where are you supposed to run, you know, outside? And then, you know, I don't know. It was one of those plays where they made – it might have been against the Braves. It was the right call. Or was it a college game, maybe? It was a college game. It was regionals with maybe like Appalachian State or something. Hey, buddy. It was a college regional game, Maryland, I think it was.
Yes.
He ran straight to the base, and they overthrew him because they didn't want to hit him. And then they called him out. They called him out for running in the baseline. Or I'm like, he's running to the bag. Where else is he supposed to go? Yep. And that lost them the game for him, and they ended up not advancing to a super regional because of it. And they were sitting pretty in the driver's seat with like 1-0, and that would put them 2-0. And it was a big game changer. So it was the right call technically by rules, but I think if you have that bigger base, you avoid a lot of controversy.
Exactly. And the base was going from 15 inches square to 18 inches square, and home plate will be unchanged. And this change will create a 4.5-inch reduction in the distance between first and second, and between second and third, which encourages more stolen base attempts.
Is that why they're larging the bigger ones from second and third? Like,
they want more stolen base attempts. They want to make the game speed up. They want to make it more interesting, I guess. It's,
yeah. I just every time
the pitch timer. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know what do they want, like 2-hour games or what, like
bumping down 7 innings.
So. Yeah, I know. If I mean, they already have with some of the double headers. Sometimes they'll do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a fan, if I'm going, if I'm driving all that way to a stadium to go watch a game, you know, this and that, I mean, I'd want to watch a 3-hour game. You know, I want to get my money's worth instead of watching a 1.5-hour game or a 2-hour game. You know, that's a part of it, is just sitting there enjoying the scenes and sights and sounds and everything else. So, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know. It just seems like they're trying to do way too much, especially with the trial stuff in the independent league. What league is it? The what's the one up in the Northeast? Atlantic League.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of like their test dummies, where they're trying everything out, you know, with the automatic umpire and all these different rules. Stealing first base, you know, for you that guys that don't know that if there's a pass ball with no runner on, the batter can take off to first if he thinks he can make it. But I guess if he leaves the box, he's considered kind of like advancing to second after you round the bag or something.
He makes like a definitive move. I don't know if it's necessarily leaving the box, like a definitive step.
Yeah.
A step that way.
So you can steal first in that league now, or they tried it out for a year or something like that. It's just like, man, you're trying way too hard. Like, it's a beautiful game the way it is. Just leave it alone. It's a beautiful game.
All right. So now that we've kind of increased our blood pressure on the new rule changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Say we jump over to some NFL and college.
Well, if anybody's keeping tallies on my picks, you're right. They suck. I'm 9-22 on one on the popcorn one and the other one, it's just bad. So if you're a betting man, listen to these podcasts each time we come out with them and go bet every opposite team and you'll be a millionaire. So I was going to ask you NFL and you're going to ask me college, right?
Sure.
All right, so I'll go with you first. Dolphins, Bengals.
Bengals get on track.
Vikings, Saints.
Vikings.
Seahawks, Lions.
Lions.
Jets, Steelers.
J-E-T-S. Jets, ooh, Jets, Jets.
Flacco, huh? Titans, Colts.
Colts.
Chargers, Texans.
Chargers, turn it around.
Hopefully Herbert gets feeling better. Browns, Falcons.
Browns.
Commanders and Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Mm. I told you they'd win after I rooted against them. Bills, Ravens.
Bills.
Cardinals, Panthers.
Oof. Man, Cardinals.
Broncos, Raiders.
That's always a heated match and go either way. Let's go Broncos. Russell Wilson snaps out of it.
Patriots, Packers.
Packers.
And last one is, oh, a few more. Hold on. Chiefs, Bucks.
Chiefs.
And Rams, 49ers.
Rams.
All right. Good choices, good choices.
All right, ready to shift gears to...
Yeah, let's knock it out.
All right, this is going to be the top 25.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Utah State, BYU.
BYU.
Washington, UCLA.
Washington.
Michigan, Iowa.
Michigan.
Kentucky, Ole Miss.
I hate to go root for them at anything, anytime, but Kentucky. Go Cards. Go Louisville.
Riff round TCU or Boomer Sooner?
Sooners. Just because... The home team. They're getting back on track. This is a vengeance game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good one. Purdue, Minnesota.
Let's go. Purdue's looking good. They just got to finish at the end. Let's go Purdue.
Texas Tech, Kansas State.
Kansas State. They looked good last week.
Yep.
I mean, Texas Tech beat Texas too, so I mean, that's going to be a good game. I'll go Kansas State though.
Yeah, but Texas is kind of quarterbackless.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Oregon State, Utah. The Beavers versus the Utes.
Utes.
The Elephants of Alabama, mm-hmm. The Crimson Tide, or the Razorbacks of Arkansas.
Gosh, my wife would kill me. Gotta go Tide. Living in Fort Smith now, and wife's Arkansas fan. I gotta go with Tide. She doesn't have to see this episode.
Yeah, this is a business.
Yeah, this is a business.
Rutgers, Ohio State.
Ohio State.
40.5-point spread right there. Or
bet the maybe come out on top.
All right. This will test you. Oklahoma State versus the Baylor Bears.
OK State.
Northwestern, Penn State.
Penn State.
Wake Forest, Florida State.
Wake Forest looking good. Wake Forest. I'm going to go Wake Forest.
Texas A&M and Mississippi State.
A&M's been looking good. After Appalachian State fail, I'm going to go Texas A&M.
Number one, Georgia Bulldogs versus Missouri Tigers.
Georgia. Huge.
NC State, Clemson.
Clemson.
Georgia Tech and Pitt.
Pitt.
Arizona State, USC.
USC.
And the game of the night, the late game, Stanford versus Oregon Ducks.
I'm going to go Oregon Ducks. They've been looking good since their first blowout, Nate, against A&M. So,
very well.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how bad I do on those since I couldn't do good in NFL. But I'm going to have to get off here. I got to go pick up the wife from work. It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Bree.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah, I got to go pick her up. We're going to go to dinner tonight, so I'm already going to be late, so I'm already in the doghouse. So, yeah. Thank you guys for joining. And if you hear any background noise, that's our third-party Beckham. He likes joining in, so if you hear any of him, he's a part of the show now. So, yeah. Thanks for having us. Thanks for listening. And God bless, guys.
See you.